To our 12:30 session on lessons learned in administrative practices in public health, I want to briefly introduce our five speakers, if you will. Mike Kennedy is with the Mecklenburg County. Make sure I sell this. Mecklenburg County Health Department in Charlotte, and he'll be talking to us about lessons from the 2012 Democratic National Convention. He'll lead off our session today, and then we'll hear from Dr. Madeline Biondolillo. Hey, okay, I pulled that off. Dr. Biondolillo and one of her colleagues, Aya, and following their presentation, we'll hear from Ethan Jacoby and then from Catherine Vaughn Gehring. We invite you to hold your questions until the end. We think we'll have time for questions at the end. We suspect people will be trickling in from lunch here as they get out of the lunch lines, and welcome your questions at the end. Mike, we'll kick off with you.
Great, thank you. Okay, so I want to give credit, first of all, to Robert Kennedy, who is not any relation to me, although I'm sure if we go back far enough in Ireland, we'll find something the same. Who did the major work on this presentation but couldn't be here, and then our environmental health director, Bill Hardister. There was a lot of lessons, a lot of aspects about the DNC coming to a mid-sized city, but we're limited by time, so we just want to focus on a few areas. This is how it all started on February 2nd, 2011. Her comment about barbecue got a lot of response from people in other parts of the country. If any of you are Colbert or Jon Stewart fans, as well as our moderator here is from Memphis, so we can discuss about that. But that's how it all began. So in February, it was the third year of the Great Recession. Charlotte's unemployment rate was 10.3% compared to the national average of 9%. So there was a lot of enthusiasm about the DNC coming to Charlotte. Believe it or not, we are the number two banking center in the nation after New York. We are headquarters for Bank of America and for the Eastern operations of Wells Fargo, who had taken over Wachovia. And so the banking industry was hit significantly by the recession. And so this DNC was seen as being an economic shot in the arm. Denver, which had hosted the DNC in 2008, claimed a $266 million financial impact from the convention. So there's a lot of excitement in the city about getting it. But of course, for those of us in the front line, it is that old adage about being careful of what you wish for when something comes down the road. A National Special Security Event, NSSE, as it's called, brings into town a number of players. But it became really clear from the outset that the driving force behind all decision-making was going to be security, particularly the security of the President of the United States, and that the Secret Service was in charge. You can have whatever committee structure you want, but everything went through the Secret Service. And they would be setting the tone for how the local community would prepare and execute the event. And some of these security requirements limit what can be discussed and disclosed at this conference. So we did, there was some, risk analysis done and some threats that were seen, and, a lot of it came out of the post-9/11, awareness of public health and our role in preparedness, and not to mention that early September is hurricane season on the eastern seaboard. So in the midst of all the government agencies that were going to be involved, for the local health department, the major role was going to be centered around food safety and the safety and quality of the lodgings for the visitors from around the globe. In addition to our normal duties, there was a heightened awareness that food service was also a potential vector for seeking to do harm or disrupt the convention. We had a lot of high-profile people coming, of course, everything was going to be happening on a global stage that would be reported globally, so the pressure not to screw it up was pretty strong. These were kind of the parameters of the event. It's interesting with the national conventions that as the television coverage has gotten more limited over time, the events themselves have become bigger. I'll show you this on a map. This is a regional map. There weren't enough hotels to hold all the visitors in the city of Charlotte, and so the delegates themselves, media, security personnel, etc., were being housed in different counties as well as Mecklenburg. This is the downtown area where the convention is, the secure zone. We were fortunate to have two health department facilities, the two red X's at the top, adjacent to the secure zone and inside part of the secure zone. But accessibility for staff was going to become a major hassle during the DNC, again going back to the security concerns. The three gray shapes show the main event venues, Bank of America Stadium, Time Warner Arena, and the Convention Center. There were additional security restrictions to get into that area as well. And the map also shows the road closures, restricted parking, and the checkpoints. They even shut down our light rail south of the security zone, and everybody had to get off and then go through security checks to get onto a bus to get into the downtown area. So it was a major challenge for us to not only respond to the issues of the convention, but as also conducting our daily business as well. Thankfully, both Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and the supporting companies that work downtown really pushed telecommuting and basically told their people, don't come. I saw a lot of neighbors that week who were home all week getting their lawns cut and stuff. So anyway, now, what's interesting is, looking at large cities that have done this before, this is a, proportionally, if you, just on a percentage basis, our 520 FTEs, it's not bad, but you'll see that my colleague, Bobby Kennedy, is our only emergency preparedness coordinator for the county, and he ended up being the point person who had to deal with all of the different agencies that were involved. So, lessons learned, what this forced on us. One thing it forced on us was a new way of doing business. Public health is very much about collaboration, information sharing, crossing boundaries, bringing in partners, etc. But now all of a sudden we had to operate in this realm of security and secrecy. The work we had done with other partners in responding to the Katrina evacuees and the H1N1 had to shift. There were now new regional, state, and federal partners involved in developing local plans. And due to security issues, we couldn't talk with other partners who would also be part of the plan or provide them with very vague information. It was really this culture of don't tell anybody anything. And it was very difficult because if somebody called and you gave an answer, you could literally, our staff would get phone calls from Secret Service a week later saying, why did you tell somebody X? So we were worried about losing a lot of social capital and the relations we had built up as we had taken on this new role in preparedness over the previous decade. In preparation, we did reach out to those with experience, particularly the city of Denver and Minneapolis, which had held national conventions, and they were very willing to share information and their experiences. But planning in the dark, due to the secret nature of the event, often found important information out from the media. This is how we found out where the delegates were staying. It was on the front page of the Charlotte Observer. We didn't get it from anybody inside the DNC preparatory and committees. So information on the occurrence of events, the frequency of events, where they were, number of people who were coming, the name of the vendor, how to get personnel to the venue, all the critical information in planning for food inspections and safety were frequently not known until close to the last minute. When you ask questions, answers did not come quickly, so you had to be patient. And people were involved in many things. It's a very complex thing to pull off, and so, sometimes public health, we had to make a little noise because we just would fall off people's radar and say, oh yeah, is that really important, food safety? Maybe not. So working the committee system became one of the skills that the people involved in planning for the DNC had to work on. There were more than 20 planning committees, transportation, hospitals, public health, etc. People were spread throughout this complex committee structure, many serving on more than one. And the people that we were used to working with may not be assigned to that particular committee, so it involved establishing new relationships. And it also made getting responses more difficult. One of the things that we faced was how do we get our staff into the secure area? So a lot of advance work had to be done because there were security checks, extensive security checks through the Secret Service for anyone who would be given credentials to get into the normal closed-off area and then into the high-security areas of the venues where there was food going to be served. So there was checking and rechecking and making sure people didn't fall through the cracks who were going to be needed. As you can see, there was this great alphabet soup of agencies who were involved, and so coordination with them became a challenge. And the ground was not always firm as things kept shifting and changing. Perhaps the most notorious part of this thing was all the work that was done in anticipation of the president making his acceptance speech at Bank of America Stadium. My wife spent 4.5 hours in line getting tickets. And the day of the event, it was canceled, and it was moved inside because of threat of thunderstorms, which never occurred, but the Secret Service was not going to allow the president to stand outside in a football stadium with light thunder and lightning going on in the early evening. So that was all shifted, and all of a sudden we had 50-some thousand people heading for the stadium who were told to go back because the event is not going to occur because the arena only holds 13,000. It was very difficult, and the ground was not always firm. What we found, and the takeaway lesson was, you know, we had spent a lot of time and energy getting our staff trained in the incident command system post 9/11, and that proved to be a real godsend as far as staff capacity to deal with all this. Because if you're familiar with the ICS, the nice thing about it is you're very clear on who you talk to, and it really helped prevent people from being omitted, getting information that they needed, and it also helped us to limit the number of bruised relationships that happened. Of course, you know, Charlotte is a city getting, Mecklenburg County is close, getting close to 1 million people. We expect to pass that by the next census. And so, you know, we also had to maintain our normal public health operations that had to go on. And you can see, you know, it's a pretty comprehensive list of services that the department provides that just could not be put on hold for, you know, the run of the DNC, the preparatory days, and the run of the DNC. So we worked very hard in preparing for this, in getting every staff person from the frontline registration people through the senior administration well informed of what was going on, what their responsibilities were going to be. For the most part, they had none, but everyone was told no vacation. You're going to be on, if there's an event that occurs, if some terrorist event occurs, if there's some biological event or environmental disaster, it's all hands on deck. So unless somebody had booked their cruise 2 years in advance and had non-refundable tickets, all vacation was prevented. We had really good leadership on this, and the staff really did step up to the plate. So it was a very positive thing. Across the department. And at the same time that this week was happening, the weekend before, we had our annual Matthews Alive Festival, which draws about 130,000 people, which is right outside the city of Charlotte, but within the county, and which, again, has all these vendors coming in, these food places that have to be inspected. And for 140,000 students, it was the opening of school. And which, of course, our largest part of our staff is our school nurse staff, and they were all tied up with that because it's, you know, checking for immunization records, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that needs to be done, especially all the special health needs kids coming in. So there's a lot going on in a relatively mid-sized city. So what we focused on in preparation and through this was the human resources issues around here. It was our environmental health specialist and our communicable disease staff that had the most direct contact with the DNC. Each of them typically worked 14 hours a day prior to, during, and in the immediacy after the event. Because you can see all the things that were going on that we had to staff to make sure that it was all okay. And it really proved necessary. There was a guy who prepared about 500 pounds of barbecue in an unlicensed kitchen in New York, froze it and put it in coolers in his car, drove it to Tampa to the Republican National Convention the week before. What he couldn't sell in Tampa, he then brought to Charlotte and thought that he would sell it during our event. We had to have him throw it out and make sure that it was, you know, spoiled by bleach so that it couldn't be taken to anybody else. In meeting the HR requirements, it was operating 24/7 during the event, one of the things that made this a success for us, of course, is what we count on every day with our public health colleagues is their professionalism and their commitment. It was very inspirational, people were willing to step up. A lot of them said this was a historical event they wanted to be part of, they didn't want to miss it. And so that was very helpful in dealing with the HR issues. We're very open and overt in taking care of our staff. There was a real concern about people who are working these 14-hour days and then having to go home and then come back the next day. So it's just little stuff like, they all had to check in at the emergency operations, environmental health operations center before leaving. They were offered a ride home if they needed it, and then they had to call and check in that they had gotten home safely. So that everybody was okay. And then if we didn't hear from them, someone was sent out to make sure that they were okay. And that only happened once. But again, I think it just set that tone for the staff of what needed to be done, how we cared about them. Again, staff not directly involved, got a lot of information in lots of ways, and trying to help them to navigate what was going on. As I said, food security was our biggest local concern, and that was what we were charged with. But there were challenges. We didn't know who all the food providers were going to be, where they were going to be, all the parties that were going on, who was catering these parties, some of them being run by people who weren't used to being told no. So that was some real challenges. We also had a... I'm usually much better at this than PowerPoint. Something that we discovered in North Carolina was that the FDA standards were different than North Carolina's. So in North Carolina, you could not, outside people have no jurisdiction authority to inspect somebody's restaurant by state statute. So we had to get to our NC legislature, which in 2010 had been completely taken over by the Republican Party. So it was a little bit of a stretch to get them to make North Carolina rules line up with FDA regulations, and then also grant special delegation staff to special delegation staff to people from outside the county who could come in and inspect it. Now, at the same time, once they changed the rules, we had to educate all of the other non-DNC related restaurants, which is about 1,300 of them, in Mecklenburg County about the new rules and regulations. And thankfully, what we did was we turned to our health education staff, and they went out and did a magnificent job in training the people. Surveillance is also very big. We had BioWatch, some of you may be familiar with. Charlotte is not a BioWatch city, but it was brought in for the DNC, and it required all kinds of laboratory support and stuff from our staff. We actually had people sleeping overnight in the health department monitoring the air quality and watching for biological pathogens downtown around the event. Again, you can see the big part played by our communicable disease staff, making sure that no one that everything was being monitored. Money became an issue because there was no extra money coming to us for this. I got it. I'm going to make it. Federal government gives $50 million to the communities for security that are hosting a national convention, but public health is not considered security, and we're still waiting for the check. We had to constantly redo. All you guys have, strategic national stockpile and emergency response plans. They had to be redone, built around the DNC. If we opened up a point of distribution or pod, what do we do with the anarchists and the congressmen? And how do we put them in the same place? So we did a lot of training, a lot of exercises. We worked very closely with our hospitals and the state surveillance system. We provided them with a 24/7 contact number and some information on what symptoms to watch for in their ERs. Emergency department census was down during the DNC, and we think that's because people were just told to stay home and not come into the city, and people figured, I'm not going to drive in this insanity. You see, we caught some food safety violations were identified, food had to be disposed of, and things like that. The one public health thing we did have was that we had a lot of people who, security people, were come into Charlotte for the event, were not used to our September heat and humidity, so we had to take some special efforts to reach out to them to take care of themselves. What are some takeaway lessons? Large events are challenging, but they do play to public health strengths. Our flexibility, our willingness to partner with other people, we have this legacy of helps make it work. It really is the check your ego at the door approach to the thing. And again, that the incident command system really did provide us a structure around which to operate, not only for our own internal communications, but also with all those partners that we had. And just in case, we might get to do it again, because the Republicans were so impressed by how we handled it that they're now talking about coming to us in 2016. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Sure.